The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? Or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Jesus Christ.
Somebody went to the trouble of counting how many times in the Bible that this one phrase, the one-liner, "Do not be afraid, do not let your hearts be troubled." Somebody went to the trouble of counting how many times that one-liner is used in the Bible. And it's used, interesting, 365 times, one for every day of the year. Now, what does that say? Do not be afraid, as the lovely statement of Jesus, the opening line in the Gospel this morning, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." But we don't hear it, and we don't listen. And most of us, much of the time, we're worried, aren't we? We're anxious, we're fearful, so we don't really listen, or we don't hear it, but what it just doesn't sink in. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And if we move on to the next line of the Gospel this morning, because it's a very, very consoling reading from the Gospel. "In my Father's house there are many mansions." Now, if I had time, I'd love to go around and ask each and every one here, how do you interpret that? "In my Father's house, there are many there are many mansions, and is Jesus talking about heaven and many different mansions or dwelling places. There's a story about a very venerable Pope died, and he went up to heaven, and he met St. Peter, and St. Peter welcomed him, and then he showed him to a little apartment, rather small. And after a couple of days, the Pope noticed there was another man, a banker, down a bit from him in this magnificent mansion of a place with beautiful lawns and flowers in front and everything. So the Pope was just slightly upset, and he went along to Peter and he said, "Peter, how come I was a Pope and I lived in the Vatican and I spoke to people all over the world and I told them about the love of God, and this banker ends up in the most beautiful mansion and I'm in this little room?" And Peter said to him, "You see," he said, "Holy Father, you're the 171st Pope that has come up here. He's the only banker that has ever met him." That's the way it goes. Now, there's a lovely interpretation, and it's the real meaning of, "In my Father's house there are many mansions." I think most of our idea of heaven is, if we're lucky enough, we end up arriving there and we're given the standard, I don't know, white robe and harp, and we're assigned to a cloud, a bit like, a shopping mall or a McKevin franchise, and we're all kind of, you know, it's nothing like that. "There are many dwelling places in my Father's house." It's about the diversity of heaven. Now, what do we mean by that, the diversity of heaven? Well, have you noticed how often in the Gospel this morning Jesus uses the word "you," "you," "you"? And you, each and every one of you, are the raw material that God is working on to make you into the beautiful person that you have the potential to be. Now, that is a good meaning of salvation. And the many dwelling places in heaven is, as Saint Teresa of Avila and Saint John of the Cross said, there are as many ways of going to God as people in the world. And in fact, we can say no two people go to God the same way. And that's really, there are many dwelling places in heaven. No two people go to God the same way. Each and every one of us, you, came from God, and you will eventually end up with God and in God. And God created you as a unique person. So again, it's wrong to say God loves all people. He loves you individually, each and every one of you. And all what you're going through now, if you put it that way, everything in your life that makes up you, so your pain, your suffering, your problems, your difficulties, your worries, your anxieties, everything that happens in your life is what makes up you and makes you unique. And God uses everything. He never lets anything go to waste. Now, we find that difficult to comprehend or to accept, but that is an absolute fact.
And it's also true to say that very often we come to God more by doing it wrong than by doing it right. And that's very consoling, but it's a fact. It's a fact. We come to God very often more by doing it wrong than doing it right. Look, I mean, if you look back on your life, my life has been a series of failures and disappointments and so on, and good things too. But the whole thing goes to make up me, my uniqueness. And that is what God is working on, and forming me into the person that he wants me to be for all eternity. Now, you look, God looks at you, and he loves you. And there are parts of you that are unlovable, and parts of you that are very lovable. So, you know, take the example. If you're married, and you look at your husband, or you look at your wife, you love him, and some people wonder, how could you love him? Or how could you love her? But you love him, and is he perfect? Or is she perfect? Well, is there anybody here married to Mr. Perfect? Some people say yes. Is there any man married to Mrs. Perfect? Yeah. You're a brave man for putting up your hand. You could be in serious trouble lately because this is on video. So you better be careful. But don't you love the person and you see qualities in them that nobody else sees? Is that not true? I think that's very, very true. And that's what God sees in us. None of us are perfect. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. And if you think you've got to be perfect to please God, forget about it. He accepts us totally as we are. And everything that happens in your life makes up the beautiful you. This is how I see it. And we'll finish here. Have you ever looked at a beautiful mosaic? And you think, isn't that a beautiful tapestry? You look at a beautiful tapestry, and you stand back and you think, that is absolutely beautiful. It's a work of art. Now, if you go down to the back of that tapestry, what do you see? It's an absolute mess, There are threads going everywhere. It's an absolute mess. That's my life from the back. That's your life from the back. It's an absolute mess. But God sees the finished product. And he's working away on the back and all the threads that are just a mess. He works on the mess in our lives and makes it into something beautiful. And that is the real meaning of salvation. That's the real meaning of salvation. It's not a question of keeping all the rules and all the laws and never being wrong. No, no, no. God uses the messiness of our life to achieve something beautiful. And that's the real meaning of the gospel this morning.